Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours.
Stockport leveller means the Addicts have to do it all again at Edgeley Park if we're to make it into the third round of the FA Cup. Welcome to Charlton Live. Hello and welcome to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are well. My name is Louis Mendez. We'll be looking back at yesterday's late heartbreak in the FA Cup. A late leveller for Stockport County means we're in the hat for the third round, but we have to go through a replay if we are actually to make it into the third round of the FA Cup. So joining me to look back at yesterday's game, first up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Not bad. Another point on the board. Oh, no. We're in the hat. So, yeah, there we go.
Oh dear. One positive got to say from yesterday, you tried the new beer. Sounds like it's still affecting you.
Yeah, it's alright. Yeah, no, alright. like the Greenwich Mean Time is a good beer, and it makes sense commercially to obviously look after our own in terms of local businesses. So, yeah, great work there, and it was a nice beer. It's better.
It makes
nice
sense.
Like a fizzy beer.
Yeah, it makes sense to try and get the fan base as drunk as possible so we can't really remember the games.
Yes, I mean, to be fair, I did go down, I had a couple of the IPAs and then randomly decided to knock that on the head and do a John and who wears a shorts and have a bovril instead. So I tried a plethora of drinking options yesterday, together. I didn't mix them together because that would be a wrong one. But I wish I did have a few more beers, so I did try and forget that game.
Yeah, an IPA and Bovril cocktail does sound very tempting now. And also joining us, a man who I'm sure has had many IPA and Bovril cocktails in his time, Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. The actual name for the IPA and Bovril cocktail was Sam Lavelle. You're thinking, it's going to be good, but actually it really, really isn't.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, if anyone thought that was going to be good in the first place, question mark. So you're supposed to be a chef, Mark, right? So on this week's show, then, as I said, we'll look back at the game of Stockport. We've got the highlights coming up in a few moments' time. We will, of course, hear from the manager, Ben Garner. We've got his full press conference. And also, I spoke to Albie Morgan live on BBC Radio London yesterday, so we'll have a listen back to that as well. We've got your tweets and your emails. I've got some fans bar as well. I did extremely briefly pop into the fans bar, so I didn't get a chance to try that new beer for myself because I got in there just as everyone was leaving, basically. But I did get a couple of interviews, so we'll hear those later on as well. So before we hear the highlights, Nath, well, as you say, we're still in the hat, you know. Irrelevant the fact that we were, you know, poor at the start and then recovered really well, and then they put on pressure and came back into it. And I don't know, there was an air of inevitability about it when they equalised, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a bit of a mare, really. I mean, yeah, like, listen, we're still in the hat, so this trying to take a positive, but a scrape in a barrel bit, I think, if I'm doing that. But yeah, first goal was pretty shoddy, put it lightly. And yeah, the thing is, I mean, he had to start Chucks, didn't he? He had to. And I thought, if we're not at least a couple of goals ahead by the time that he comes off, I'm always a bit nervous. And I think the proof was in the pudding when he'd done that, and we ended up with about six wingers, it felt, across the front line. And we just didn't manage the game well enough for me. I didn't think we were streetwise enough. And to be fair, I don't think Stockport offered that much, but I think it would have been a bit harsh if we did win. I think they had a couple of chances, and, you know, you don't defend set pieces. A third of all goals or 30% of all goals are scored from set pieces, and we didn't defend them well enough. It's simple, really. What Ben said, which we'll probably will come on to about the decision of the corner, but you've got to defend it. You know, you can't keep blaming officials. It's like, we've got to look after ourselves, and we're not doing it at the moment.
Yeah, certainly. A frustrating end to a game in which, well, you know, playing a team from, well, exactly 24 places below us in the pyramid, exactly a league below us, Mark. They gave it a good go, Stockport. You've got to take your hat off to the Hatters. But, yeah, were we clinical enough when we had our chances? No. Did we defend well enough? No. It's almost like pretty much every other game we've had this season.
Well, I'd say we did actually have our chances. I think when Corey came on, he was in on the goalkeeper and should have squared. He came flicked off a post. And DJ, as soon as he came on, you know, he turned and hit it from a corner. I think it would have been his first touch, and that flew over the bar. So we did have it. I mean, I think, take your hats off to Stockport. They stuck to their job the entire game. They stuck to the system. They pushed us up as far as they could get us. We sat so deep, it was ridiculous. They kept their left winger glued to that touchline as an out. So all the time, Sean Clare's got to keep one eye on him. So I think Stockport deserved it. I don't think we played well enough to say that we should be there by right. And I think, you know, it's on us now. I think there were issues, especially with Chucks. He obviously was struggling after about 25 minutes running, and he wasn't getting any decisions. He'd lost the plot a bit, and he can't run at full pelt because he's got to protect himself. So he comes on for half hour, great. 60 minutes, he was struggling, he was blowing, and he wasn't as mobile. And you just hope that hopefully they've got him warmed down properly and pack him in ice until we need him on Friday night.
Certainly. Right, well, the message from Jeff Alp, who said that, Louis, you asked for that, now your wish to visit Edgeley Park will be granted. Yeah, that is the case. I did say I've never been there, and now we've got a replay, so I will be going up there. But let's have a listen then to the highlights from yesterday's game. Charlton TV coverage, the commentators, as always, were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Swung in low along the floor to Kemps, goes back out to the corner. Taker has come in and gone straight in. Nobody touched that, I don't think, and Kemps' cross has found its way into the right-hand corner. And Stockport take the lead.
Well, the Charlton switch off with the corner. The corner was short to Kemps initially, went back out to the corner taker. He swung in an outstanding ball towards the far post. I'm with you, Tell. I don't think it took a touch at the far post. I think it was...
Well, Hussey was there, yeah. Hussey was there, but I'm not sure he touched it. I've put that down to Kemps, that one.
Kirk into Fraser. Coming at the edge is Albie Morgan, at the edge of the penalty, takes a shot, oh, just inches wide.
avoided the outstretched right arm of Hinchliff and just evaded the right hand post as well.
Yeah, caught that really well.
Good chest control by Kirk up against Southam Hales. Sessegnon makes the run ahead of him. Sessegnon looks to take on his man and he's into the edge of the penalty area. Still possession. Sessegnon tries to go backwards. Blocked away. It's gone in. Has that gone in? It's gone in. That's a goal. It's the strangest goal I think I've ever seen. Couldn't quite understand quite what was happening. I think a lot of people were looking at a possible challenge in the penalty area. Sessegnon kept possession of it. I have no idea who that came off last, but it snuck past Hinchcliffe on the near post and ended up in the back of the net.
That was one of the most bizarre goals you'll ever see, for the same reason. I was convinced it went in, but the lack of reaction in the crowd, because it was blocked. Sessegnon with fantastic burst down the left-hand side and poked it in, and I think it comes off the defender last. I think it's an own goal. It's difficult to tell whether Nike got anything on it, but the ball just trickled over the line, but it looked like it may have gone out beforehand. It was all a bit confusing. No one really celebrated, but Charlton have an equaliser. Even Ben Garner had to sort of turn to the crowd and say, yeah, it's a goal. Well, it's absolutely bizarre.
To Sessegnon. Ball forward to Fraser. He's made a good run. It's a lovely ball as well. Fraser's onside. Controls right, gets back and just denies initial cross. Fraser now has been forced out by the Stockport centre half, who's done well. Charlton keep possession, but this time much further back. It's all the way to the halfway line, which is a little bit of frustration. But Charlton in possession with Innes. Now Dobson. Lavelle to Sessegnon. Forward to Fraser. Now Dobson on the halfway line turns. Looks for the long ball forward to Morgan. It's a lovely run. Morgan controls. It's a lovely control.
Oh, that's outstanding.
And manages to squeeze it beyond Hinchcliffe. And Charlton have a 2-1 lead. A lovely ball forward from Dobson. Morgan made a great run from midfield. A perfect bit of control. Looked to dink it over the Stockport goalkeeper. He got a hand to it, but not enough to keep it out. And Charlton have the lead.
Oh, that was outstanding. And I just picked up Albie Morgan because I said his movement was creating a lot more opportunities for Charlton. We were a lot more mobile. He's coming short. He's drifting into areas that he isn't being tracked in. And just a moment earlier, Fraser had made that run and hadn't capitalised on it. And there was that frustration because it looked a really good opportunity. And as the ball went back, you saw Albie Morgan arc his run through the middle, found superbly, but it still needed to be finished. And it was a lovely control and touch past the keeper. And that's outstanding, Albie Morgan.
Collar against behind Lavelle and cuts inside a penalty. Collar with the ball. Well, the shot in the end, which is saved by Maynard Brewer. It looked like he was crossing, but I think he was going for goal. And Maynard Brewer had to be alert. Palms it away, and Charlton will look to
Sessegnon
break.
Finds Collar, and there is the half-time whistle to conclude an interesting first 45 minutes here at the Valley.
Trying to bring the ball forward. Claire's done brilliantly. Inside to Raksaki. Raksaki looking to turn in the penalty area. Raksaki, but it's straight at the goalkeeper.
Now it's good football from Charlton.
Woodson on the right-hand side. Ball inside, looking for Crankshaw at the far post. Rydell with a shot, and it's an important block from Clare. Again, Stockport getting a better chance. The ball over the top.
So Crosdale, Hippolyte runs in the penalty area, trying to take it past two Charlton players. Rydell turns and shoots, and narrowly wide.
Very narrowly wide. Again, Charlton just panicking the box. They don't make any firm clearance. Don't get their foot on the ball.
Charlton have it back.
Lovely touch inside by Blackett-Taylor, and he's gone for the return from Morgan Blackett-Taylor, and he's into the corner of the penalty area. Corey Blackett-Taylor to finish. Oh, scrapes the left-hand post.
Ball into the box towards Hippolyte.
Maynard Brewer comes out and makes the save. Out to McDonald. Ball back into the box again. Ashley Maynard Brewer with a strong hand, and he gets it out to Morgan. And Charlton get the ball out to Raksaki.
You see me putting him under pressure and almost coming away with the ball, and the clearance goes straight to Dobson. And that's a good header out by Dobson into Morgan.
Morgan sends it deep across looking for the goal. Oh, tipped over the bar. And it's away for a corner. Now, I don't know whether Albie Morgan meant that or he was trying to find Blackett-Taylor on the left corner of the penalty area. But it was sailing towards the goal, and it needed the tip over from Hinchcliffe to send it over the bar. And we've got 7 minutes of added time here.
That was an out. He was going for that tell without a shadow of a doubt.
Comes in. It's Hippolyte with a flick. Oh, no, it's in. They have equalised in the dying minutes. 2-2 here. Hippolyte with the header. It could be an extra game.
Well, I think Stockport deserve it, in all truth. I think they've been good. That Charles defensive liability shown. I think they've got themselves to blame, Charles. Last 5 minutes of this game, they've been looking to rush the ball. They've not slowed the game down. I don't really understand that, Tell. It's the 90th minute of a cup tie. You just want to win the game. We've been taking quick free kicks, been looking to switch the play quickly in the dying minutes. I think they've got themselves to blame, Charlton, these last 5 or so minutes.
Any drama left in this game?
Charlton will ask the question about the corner that was given.
Well, the linesman guessed. Well, I mean, we both thought it was out because the way it played out. But the line, there's no way the assistant would have seen that because he was miles away. But he did. He guessed, but he probably guessed right. And that is the final whistle.
There we go. Thanks to all involved with getting the highlights on air. Late disappointment. Late defending issues again, Nathan. what do we make of the performance as a whole then? Because, I mean, it started dreadfully. You know, Stockport came flying out of the traps and had a very early lead. But actually, I thought we recovered, after the first 10 minutes or so, we recovered really well to take a 2-1 lead at half-time. And then it just faded. Did NEK going off make a real big difference to us when Stockport started coming back into it?
For me, it did, yeah. I think, you know, I know we've got injuries, but that was our strongest 11 that we could have possibly picked. And it's a team that we should be beating, you know. In all honesty, no disrespect to Stockport, because we've given the plaudits that they rightly deserved. But we should be beating teams, you know, like that at home. And, we came into it after we conceded a poor first goal. And, you know, Albie scored a good goal. I thought we had a good game yesterday. I just think when Chucks went off, we just lost that focal point for me. I mean, Kirk went up there and we were still hitting it long or trying to go in the channels and it wasn't sticking. Whether Kanu could have made that different, but he's a striker and he's a big physical lad, and I thought it would have been something different. But as soon as he went off, I just felt we were going to drop deeper. We were going to be looking for, you know, Campbell and Corey on the break. It wasn't sticking, and we were just inviting pressure. And then when that corner went out, you just knew what was going to happen. And we know that Chucks is still building his minutes up. Don't know when he's going to be able to do 90, but it's those sort of games, really. We had nothing on the bench, and we couldn't change it. So that's what I said at the top of the show. I think unless we had two clear goals, I was always a bit concerned of how we was going to manage the game. And because, you know, their centre-halves was a big... They were big units. Their number six, I think, was Horsfall. I think had come on, had a good game when he came on at half time, and it just wasn't sticking, and it was just coming straight back. I think for me it did change the way the game was going. I mean, Chucks didn't have an amazing game by any stretch, but I just thought we were inviting pressure on, and again the second goal was like. I was trying to think yesterday. There was another game recently, I think, where it was a near post flick on. And it went in the back stick, but frustrating. But I feel for Ben a little bit, because what, you know, like the squad he's got, he can't really do much else. And you know, the lads weren't like through lack of effort at all. It's just we're just scraping a barrel at the moment, mate. And I said yesterday on Twitter, it's just four a countdown till January, like four weeks, and then. I'm praying that we get some sort of, or Ben gets some sort of help in terms of personnel. But whether that happens or not, we don't know, do we? So, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, well, I feel we have a good idea, even if we don't already know. But, a case of waiting and seeing, I guess, what will be the case. We conceded another 2 goals, Mark. We are shipping goals for fun at the moment. So it's 3 at Plymouth in midweek. Just 1 at Port Vale, which was a bit of a result, but we still lost. Only 3 against Burton, you know, we'll see... one against Stevenage Colville, we've had 4 against Ipswich recently, 2 against Milton Keynes. You know, we let in goals for fun. It doesn't matter, even if we change the team up slightly like we did for Plymouth in midweek, we give away ridiculous goals. And yesterday it was just 2 set pieces that we didn't deal with. So we didn't get out to the corner when it was taken short quick enough, and then there was no challenge. It went over the head of both Innes and Lavelle, actually, the first goal. Maynard Brewer was sort of unsighted. I don't know if there was too much he could have done about that. I thought at the time maybe he could have come out, but looking back at it, maybe that would have been a bit harsh. And the second one, I think it was DJ, was just out-jumped at the near post. Like, we don't defend well, and it's been a problem for a long, long time now. I mean, obviously, Ben's expressed his frustration that he can't really change things up at the back at the moment because we're very limited in what we have. Is there a question to be asked there about whether there's I don't know, more that we could drill into the side as well with what we do have anyway?
Well, a couple of things. One, don't put one of your shortest people on the front post to defend a header like that. Two, their being caught cold from their first goal is just shocking. But I think anyone who's obviously Stockport would have done their homework. They've looked at us. They see what we're susceptible to, which is shots from outside the area. And we're not switched on. And, I've watched it go in front of me and it's hit. And like Maynard Bruder's almost sort of like, what was that going past? Oh, yeah, that's the ball going past. And he couldn't have done anything about it. It was a good finish. It was a very good curling shot. The second one couldn't really see well from our angle up the other end. But we are dependable to be making the same. They say like madness is repeating your mistakes, and that's what we're doing. We're not doing the same thing. And you just don't know why, because we've got people there, but they're just not fast enough. I mean, Dobson can't be everywhere. You've got to look at, especially at a corner, you've got to be switched on. And the strangest thing I noticed yesterday at the corner, we were doing half zone marking and half man marking. And I just couldn't work that out. If you looked at it, Innes was there, he had Chucks in front of him, he had someone behind him, and there was no one near them. They weren't putting anyone on the keeper, they were all on the edge of the area with the rest of our team defending. And I thought, what are you defending? Space doesn't score. You know, there's no point in you being there, because you've got to be looking at your players, at your runners, getting hold of somebody, getting in front of somebody. Just being stood in a line is just inviting runners in. And Stockport aren't a small side. They had some big lads there. And I just thought to myself, I thought by the time we equalised, and that was, you know, we'll go on to that, but that was one of the funniest things, because obviously no one in the North Stand realised we'd scored. And it was the most belated cheer and celebration I think I've ever seen at a game there. If they get another corner, we're going to concede a goal from it. You know, okay, it was in the 97th minute, but you could see the threat every time. And I don't understand defensively, you know, I'd like someone to explain it to me, why we set up like that.
Yeah, well, it certainly didn't work in our favour. Yeah, I mean, Mark mentioned it there. Obviously, we did get back into the game after that early setback, and it was absolutely bizarre. It felt like hardly anyone in the ground realised the ball had gone in. Great work from Stephen Sessiong, and we're praying that there's nothing too serious with what he came off with. Looking like cramp at the moment, but obviously once you get down and get things scanned or whatever, then you might find out differently. But he did superbly well to sort of weave his way into the air, and he crossed the ball, and it's actually come off the back of the defender Lewis, 31 I think he was, and it's dribbled over the line. It's just the pace of it. The ball, where we were sat in the West Upper, we thought we couldn't tell for certain if he'd gone in or sort of dribbled wide and then gone behind the goal in between the advertising board and the net. No one in our stand or in the covered end seemed to know it had gone in. Eventually, we saw Ben Garner smiling and trying to urge the fans onto their feet to celebrate, and then eventually the goal goes in. There's a really funny video from in the Stockport County end where it goes into the back of the net, and even the Stockport fans are confused because there's no noise. You can hear one of them going, like, what? Has it been disallowed for something? It was utterly bizarre, Nathan. I don't know if you... how long did it take you to realise it went in, Nath?
Ages. I was cracking up. I was standing there and I was like, oh, corner. And then, like you say, Ben started going mental and I'm like, all right, mate, it's only a corner. And then the West End started cheering and then, like, everyone looked at each other in the north, in the covered end, and it was like, whee! It was just a bit surreal, but it was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I've never seen that in my life, but probably be, you know, if we had people in the East End, probably might have been a bit better. But yeah, it was a bit of a surreal experience, really. It was just like time stopped against Stockport County at home. What a time. It was a bit strange. And I just thought, I just looked at Ben really and I thought, well, how can he see it then? That's the only thing I was wondering, has he seen it? And we can't. But,
well, he knows the game, doesn't he? He's worked in the game for a long time, so he knows how to work out when the ball's gone in the goal and that. So it's genius. The second goal I thought was actually really good, Mark. There was frustration, actually, because we played the ball around, got it towards the edge of their area, and then we forced ourselves back, and a lot of the fans got a bit frustrated with that. But actually, it opened up a nice space for Albie to make the dart across, and Dobson's picked him out perfectly. And then the finish from Morgan, although the keeper got a hand onto it, was very accomplished as well.
Yeah, no, it was a good finish. Was it Dobson? I thought it was Fraser who had played the ball. Oh, I'm wrong. No, it was strange because we did seem to have the ball. It'd be interesting to see how many of our passes, you know, we've put together yesterday in our own half. It did seem a lot of the time we were just going backwards, backwards, sideways, backwards. And you're hoping, okay, someone's going to make a run forward. Luckily, Albie did. And, yeah, nice finish. And, you know, I thought he had a decent game yesterday, Albie. I think he tried. I don't think anyone, it's going to sound funny. I know it was a 2-2, and I don't think anyone really, apart from one of the defenders, had a bad game. I mean, we drifted in. I think we were held back by a team which was working hard. Yeah, you'd say, well, you know, quality of a League One over a League Two, you should be doing it. But hard work and a team effort will always generally counterbalance all this up. So Albie had a good game. I thought Fraser tried to thread the ball well. I saw him getting a bit stick yesterday online. I didn't think he'd actually had a bad game. I just thought Kirk, I loved Kirk's challenge of a goalkeeper in the first 5 minutes, put him straight in the air. But again, it just didn't seem to be working as well with Chuck, because he wasn't right reading him as well. And then he was sort of like going out on the left and not being found. And when he was getting the ball, not really being overlapped. Until the equaliser came, he'd been a bit sort of like hamstrung. So it was a great finish from Albie, though. You know, took it well. And, you know, 2-1 up at half time, you're thinking, right, they're going to have to come at us. They can leave gaps behind. We can exploit it. But, you know, they came at us. We just didn't exploit it.
The second half, then again, we had chances to kill it off. You know, how many times have we said that? Blackett Taylor came off the bench and hit the outside of the post. It was good to see DJ back in action. Obviously, he's been out injured since pretty much the start of October, I think it was. So, you know, good to get those players back. But it is a frustration that now that we're in a position to start Chooks, when we take him off, we don't have anyone remotely like him that can change games. He was our secret weapon off the bench, Nave, to change games. But when he starts and we don't have anyone to come on in his place, you know, there's no Stockley at the moment, that sort of makes things a bit difficult for us in the closing stages.
Yeah, it does. You know, and we know what Chooks can do from the bench. And, I don't think he had a great game yesterday. I don't think he had a poor game. It was just a bit, I don't know. I think the way he's been, you know, the way he's been going and coming off the bench, obviously when he plays, we expect something to happen, you know, and it just didn't really fall for him yesterday. But yeah, when you can't change it up and you ain't got a like for like, like I said earlier, I didn't know where the ball was going to stick. It was the only way we were going to get in. We're going to be down the sides from a ball over the top or an overload. And we got down a couple of times, as you said, in Corey, and we just couldn't finish our chances, unfortunately. I'm just surprised Kanu didn't get a go. I don't know if there was a reasoning behind it, but as much as Campbell, I think, has done okay, I thought, well, why not shove Kanu up there? I mean, he's a poacher, isn't he? You know, he scores goals for fun. You know, it's an FA Cup, like, have a go. Like, I don't see why he didn't do it, but we didn't. And, yeah, we ended up playing all the wingers up there, and we just, when Chucks went off, I just felt I could only see one thing coming, and that was us sort of dropping deeper and deeper, which we inevitably did, and didn't manage the game well enough to see it out. And they get a corner, and anything can happen from a corner with us at the moment. So yeah, just disappointing, mate. It's avoidable, but I know all goals are avoidable, but I just think we just invited it on ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, and yeah, frustrating end to the game. One potential positive from the replay is, well, you'd expect the game to be not the week upcoming, but the midweek after next weekend. So between the Cheltenham and the Morecambe games, which should mean that Stockley's third game of his ban will be the replay now. So he should be back for Morecambe, whereas beforehand he would have been back for the Bristol Rovers game in terms of a league game. So it's one fewer league games that he's going to miss, which will help with our charge towards mid-table. Right, let's have a listen to what Ben Garner had to say after yesterday's game. Slightly different format yesterday. I interviewed him in the tunnel live on Radio London, so it's not my interview that we're listening to here. It's his full press conference instead. So he speaks to the likes of Richard Corley and Aki as well in the press conference, and he was asked for his overall thoughts on the cup tie.
I thought they started well and obviously went ahead. We're disappointed with the goal, but then I thought we responded really well second half, showed really good mentality, scored two really good goals, particularly the second one. I thought it was really well worked. And they started the second half quite well without creating too much, you know, shots from the edge, and we blocked well and got up to the ball. And then we had chances to get the third goal and kill the game. So I don't think we were clinical enough in those situations. We should have put the game to bed, and that can always come back and haunt you, which it did. I think the build-up to the goal we can deal with better. I think the set piece, obviously, we can deal with better. But I'm really disappointed that a corner was given, because the ball's not out of play, and the linesman's on the opposite side of the pitch. He's not up with the game. He's looking across, almost through Ash. He's guessed, basically. He's guessed, and for me, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. And it's a frustration, because you know we're there. We're a minute away from being in the next round. So it's a disappointing dressing room, but it is what it is, and we're gonna have to prepare for another game.
I was gonna say it's another game on top, and not a short trip either. No. So not what you wanted to sell.
No, not at all. I mean, that'd be, I imagine it'd be next Tuesday, so that'd be Stockport away, Morecambe away that week, and we had a little bit of a break in the calendar in terms of some week preps going into games. We've obviously got the Carabao Cup in December, so you know, being blunt and honest, we really could have done without having to replay another fixture, just in terms of pure numbers and where we are with the squad. But it is what it is. We've got to first of all prepare for Cheltenham next week in the league, and look to win that game, and then move on to Stockport on the Tuesday.
When you look at the first goal, it's a short corner, isn't it? Comes back to him. When you look back at that, it's probably more defendable, isn't it, in terms of that?
Yeah, very much so. They've worked a corner like that where they actually play that and then set it across for a shot, which I think was what they were going to do, but because we'd sort of come up on that, I think he just decided to cross it. But I'm not seeing it back yet, but it looks soft. And also the second goal for him, so two set pieces have ultimately cost us going through today.
A good run by Sess in the lead up to the first goal. I mean, I don't know who, I think it was given to the goalkeeper in the end, his own goal, but it's a good driving run by Sess, and you kind of turn the contest around before half time, which must have been pleasing.
Yeah, I thought the response after conceding the first was really good. We spoke a lot around mentality and courage this week, and there was lots of that. Just say brilliant run from Sess, good goal, you know, and the way it goes in, obviously, you know, is perhaps a little bit fortunate, but the build up into that situation was fantastic, and the second goal was brilliant. It was such a well worked goal, great timing, great pass, and as I say, we had good opportunities second half to kill the game. And obviously we're very disappointed that we haven't done so.
The one that sticks out is the chance for Corey. He goes through. Do you think at the time it seemed like there was options maybe to square it? It's easy to say that after he doesn't convert it, but what were your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it looked like there was people just to roll it across. I haven't seen it back yet, and I think he's 6 inches away from it going in, you know, so I think it just needed a little bit of shape on the finish. But in that situation, if you have got players square, anyone in that situation, you're better off doing that, because it guarantees the goal. But let's say we had good chances, we needed to be more clinical. And then we've got young players coming on into the Lions Den and having to try and see the game out, and thought they stood up well. You know, they're going to rain balls up from the keeper and throw-ins in the box and set pieces in the box, and I thought we'd seen that through, and very disappointed that isn't the case.
Was that an injury there at the end or not?
We're hoping it's just cramp. He just tightened in his hamstring, and we're hoping that's cramp. So we'll have to assess that and see, but we're praying and praying that is cramp and nothing more.
And you talked about the striker situation, that you'd have to maybe work around the options you had. You kind of did that, didn't you, with Chuck's obviously starting. He gets a good hour and a bit before you have to obviously change it around with Charlie and Albie up top.
Yeah, Chuck's has been building his minutes and training well, and we've progressed him. And listen, Chuck's is never going to be able to go Saturday, Tuesday, 90 and get on a run of games like that. But we've got to try and keep him fit and available and use him as best we can. And for him to help the team as best he can in that time. And when he's not available, certainly for the next two, we have to find other solutions. I thought Charlie did well, and I thought DJ was excellent when he came on for the last 10 minutes there as well. So, lots of positives in there today, but obviously we're all naturally very frustrated from conceding late on and having the extra game.
Ben, I wouldn't dare suggest that you won't try to win the replay, but you've just pointed out rightly that it comes at a difficult time for you. Would it be fair to say you'd consider more juggling the players and bringing the young ones on because the league is possibly more of a priority than winning the cup?
Yeah, I think we have to rotate, because we're going to play Friday and we're going to play the following Saturday. So we're not in a position where the same team can go. We just, as I say, we haven't got the numbers, and with the injuries we currently have, We will have to make changes between the three games, so it's identifying the best changes for each game and obviously trying to win each game. But we're going to have to do that without taking a risk. So we're not in a position where we can go, right, we're playing Friday, we're playing again Tuesday, in the hope that, you know, we win the game. It's going to have to be, right, who can do this, who's a risk, and we're going to have to manage that.
Do you think even the fans are not prioritising the cup because it wasn't the best turnouts today either? You know, there's not a lot else, like World Cup's on, there's not a lot else going on to stop people coming. It felt like a lot of the noise was coming from their end today.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't talk obviously on the fans' state of mind and what they're thinking in terms of cup and league. All I would say, we're financially in difficult times, and there's a train strike again today, so situational factors come into it, and I fully understand that. I'm sure the fans want us to win every game, as I do.
And so finally, do you think there needs to be an element of trust in the players? Because like you say, when your goalkeeper scooped the ball up and it looked like he'd scooped it up before the line,
yeah,
and the linesman's miles away,
yeah,
you've got to look at players' reactions, haven't you, and trust that maybe...
Well, I think you have to be 100% sure that ball has gone out of play. He wasn't up with play, so he's 10 yards from the touchline, the goal line, to be able to look across and get a good view. He's looking through bodies, particularly Ash, because it's the far side of Ash's body. I don't know how he can see it. For me, it's impossible to see. And he's guessed. He's guessed. And he'd be on his merry way, and we suffer the consequences. So, yeah, like I say, it is what it is. But it's certainly things that need to be looked into, because if he doesn't give the corner, no one bats an eyelid. No one even mentions it after the game. But he's made a decision which has decided the outcome of the game. And they shouldn't be in that position, officials. They should be making decisions that allow the game to be decided by the players on the pitch.
I thought Stockport in the second half did quite a good job of getting down your flanks and getting crosses in. I thought they had a lot of time to do that. Do you think that was more tactical, or on an individual level should your players have been more alert on the flanks?
Yeah, I think they switched the ball second half and were trying to get their wing backs high, and then they changed shape and went to a back four. And I thought we got to grips with that. I thought we got to grips with our start of the second half, a little bit too easy. I don't think we kept the ball as well at the start of the second half as we did in the first. And then I thought for the middle of the second half, we got more control and looked the better side. And as I say, had great opportunities to score. Their keepers made a fantastic save from Albie Morgan as well. DJ has a chance on the turn. Corey's we've already spoken about. So, we then got control of it. And I think going into the closing stages, you know, they're then nothing to lose. And they're pushing forward and flooding bodies. And largely, I thought we dealt with it pretty well. And I thought we were going to see it through. And as I say, not to be. And it is what it is. And we have to move on.
And of course, Ashley Maynard-Brower has come into the side. Obviously, he only made his debut. How do you think he's done in his first couple of
games? He's done really well across the two games. He's a mature lad for his age. And I'd say he's a talented goalkeeper. Really like his attitude and how he is, and he's equipped himself really well in the two games that he's played. A couple of really good saves today, and he can be really pleased with the work that he's done across his first two starts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news: ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Jones!
Yes!
It's
it!
Oh, he's gone! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo!
Dreamland!
Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too! Get in! Come on!
What
time to be a hero.
Here at Wembley. Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Charlton Live. Well, welcome back to Charlton Live on your Sunday. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. It's Louis Mendes, Nathan Miller and Mark Newbury looking back at yesterday's 2-2 draw with Stockport in the second round of the FA Cup. We just heard there from Ben Garner. Starting to pick up a little bit of stick, I noticed on social media yesterday, Mark. You know, we know how much he's looking forward to January to find out where Charlton are. I did ask him if he had spoke to Thomas Angard about the January transfer window as of yet, and he said, well, they were due to have a call last week, but it got postponed. But I think he said he's expecting Thomas to be in the country this week, so maybe some sort of conversation will happen. But there will be elements of fans who, I don't know, a bit frustrated with even with what we've got, that we're not defending particularly well at the moment. You know, and there were spells yesterday where we were doing our passing the ball around and then creating and not taking chances. I mean, is there much he can do about changing those little elements of our game?
Unfortunately not. We're a bit hamstrung to who we have at centre-half for the moment. We've got two fit centre-halves, and unless you want to stick, you know, Sessegnon on the other side or Chin in and move Sean into centre-half, you're going to be limited to what you've got. I understand people are getting frustrated because he's saying the same things, but he's being asked the same questions and we're in the same position, so he's going to be giving the same answer. Nothing's changed in sort of like the 3, 4, 5 weeks he's been asked these questions. So as to, well, I think we all know what's going to happen in January. We'll be lucky to hold on to probably Miles Leburn and Dobson. And if we might get a loan in from some other club. Do I think he's going to open his checkbook? Not a bit. Because they'll say, oh, there's no point in getting someone in now because we're only going to finish mid-table and blah, 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 blah. And you think yourself, that just shows the range of it. I do feel for Garner. And again, like I say, whether he makes Christmas Day, I don't think so. If Thomas is back in the country next week, it's not like he's going to sack him face to face. That's not the man's style. He'll wait till he's on the plane home again. Or Garner walks and just goes, look, you can't keep, you know, doing the same things with what we've got. You know, do I play Deji Eliwari every game or what? And to play the youth team because that's all our only options. And then when we get beat 4-5-0 by Cheltenham or Bristol Rovers or something like that, go, hey, you know who that's on? That's on UTS. That's not on us because these kids aren't ready. You haven't improved the squad enough. So it's difficult. I understand fans' frustrations because you want to take it out on somewhere, and it's difficult. I think looking at the everyone who stayed away yesterday, I mean, it was less than 4,000 for a lot of a crowd, and everyone who stayed away going, yeah, probably a wise idea on a sort of like dank afternoon.
Yeah, well, no, a tweet comes in from Stuart, says, it's amazing how far we've fallen as a club. The fan base that took so long to build up is slowly being eradicated. There's no enthusiasm, no belief within the club. It's so disheartening. I mean, Mark mentioned it there, the crowd was tiny yesterday. You know, smaller than AFC Wimbledon, which, you know, we're a smaller club than AFC Wimbledon, who've just come out of non-league, and you know, even when they were Wimbledon, was traditionally a non-league club with quite a small fan base. Nath, it was a lower crowd than against Colville, mainly because of the away fan difference. So Colville bought about 1,600 and yesterday there was only 925, I think it was, Stockport fans. But actually the amount of Charlton fans went down by 73, I think it was, when I worked it out yesterday. So that's small, but it's been pretty small already this season. Like there's a real lack of enthusiasm around the place. I hate to say it, but it's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, when I was there yesterday, I was a little bit surprised how low it was. Don't get me wrong, you know, there were no South Eastern trains yesterday. Luckily, I don't use South Eastern, so I was able to get in, albeit crammed on a train, back to the sunny Surrey area. But yeah, I was surprised in terms of the numbers. But you know what, like, everyone's entitled to do what they want. especially when it was lower than Colville. I didn't think we'd sell it out, but I thought we'd have a good few more than we actually did. And yeah, as you know, as you were saying, it's quite sad, really. Because I remember back in the day, saying we're old, but I remember FA Cup games used to be over 10,000. You know, like, and it used to be a good day out. It's a Saturday, you know, you get some new fans in, you get some neutrals in. But yeah, I don't know if it was just purely I can't say it's purely the trains, because I don't think every fan travels in by train. But yeah, it was just a bit of a I don't know. I mean, if we had someone from the Championship, would it have been a little bit higher? Maybe, but I don't see it going, you know, much bigger than that. And yeah, and I just think that sort of backed it up in the atmosphere. The atmosphere was just a bit of meh, sort of. It felt like a friendly, you know. It was like a bit of a weird, odd atmosphere. And it's sad to see. It's sad to see. But it's where we are at the moment, and I think it just shows the enthusiasm or the lack of enthusiasm that there is around the fan base at the moment, which is really, really sad.
Yeah, it's really waning. Right, James says, as a thin squad, a lack of support from ownership, chaos behind the scenes, a stubborn manager, poor squad, conceding late seems about par for the course. Let's talk more about the women's team. More to be pleased about on the field with them. Yeah, well, obviously they beat Palace last week, playing Bristol City in the Conti Cup Sunday at 2 o'clock today, if you're listening, you've got time to get down there. Natalie said it was like watching a bargain basement England team against the USA on Friday night. It was boring. Ghana boys not entertaining. It isn't winning games. I bumped into some Stockport fans after the match. They thought our number 10 was good, so go Albie. He gets a lot of stick undeservedly. Yeah, he did have a better game yesterday. Andy says the first half was bizarre, poor football, a goal that nobody noticed, and zero atmosphere in the home end. Better football generally second half, but we only played in patches and it wasn't good enough. Stockport deserved a draw at least and took the game to us, not what we needed. Yeah, absolutely could have done without a replay. All hell let loose says, my question, who should go first, Ghana or the Sandguards? Well, I imagine both will be here for a little bit longer at least. Daniel says, we simply can't cope with being 2-1 up in added time. We concede too many late goals. This means we have another game in the already busy schedule. Ken said, I think we should put shirt numbers on the front so it looks at least like we're attacking. We certainly put the FA into the FA Cup. And then Sammy said, neither the Sandguards nor Ghana should be going. It's a process. They can't keep changing managers. They both said it will take two more windows. You can't get rid of players on contract. You have to wait. Like a few years ago, there was only Thomas Sandgaard willing to fund a takeover, and there's no one interested now. I'm not sure that's entirely true, Sammy. There's interest out there from what we're reading. So, yeah, I think you're wrong on that, my friend. Right, let's have a listen to another interview. Albie Morgan, scorer of the Addicts' second goal yesterday. I spoke to him in the tunnel after yesterday's game. This is what he made of the 2-2 draw with Stockport.
It's tough. A lot of positives. Some good patterns of play, some good positions we got in. Obviously, a goal for myself, which is always nice. But on the other hand, it comes down to game management, I think. Being 2-1 up, putting them on the back foot a lot in the first half, and then going into the second half, obviously, they start to apply more pressure. But I don't know. I think just game management, we've got to be able to see games out if we're in a winning position, and obviously suck up the pressure, boys knowing their roles from set pieces. And I don't know, a lot to be fair, but I think it's obviously disappointing to concede so late, and obviously now I have to play another tie. But I don't know, a game definitely of two halves, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, is that a bit of a conversation amongst the squad at the moment, that Charlton are struggling to keep the ball out the back of their own net over the last few weeks?
Yeah, of course. I think we're always going to apply pressure to teams going forward. I think we've got so much threat, whether that be from the start or people coming on from the bench like today. So many chances again, I think, today, where maybe if we score the first goal, another goal, sorry, to make it 3-1, that could put the game to bed. So, got to be better, I think. Looking at it now, there's going to be times where they're going to be applying pressure to us, but we've got to find ways to be able to suck that up and stop the ball from going into the back of the net.
Yeah, and some frustration as well, because you recovered so well from the early setback and probably held a deserved lead at half time.
Yeah, that's it. I think first half we were excellent. Got into some really good positions, kept the ball really well. We were majorly on top. They were pinned in. We were keeping the ball well, going from side to side, causing them a real problem. And then, of course, you're going to have to accept that when you're 2-1 up, they're going to come on to you towards the end of the game. It's going to be tough to see it out, kind of thing. But if we can really get to grips with that and keeping it locked, keeping it really safe, protecting the goal, I think that's something we have to work on. And I think we all know that. But no, from now, we have to look to the next tie. Go in, try to take the positives, and we know what we need to do to be able to win that game. Yes, it's as simple as that, really.
There we go. Good to hear from Albie. I said, Mark, like he scored a good goal yesterday. He was very busy. You know, he got praise from those Stockport fans, as mentioned by Natalie a few moments ago. What sort of season is Albie having? You know, Tom boldly predicted he might become the player of the year at the start of the season. I don't think it's going to be that case for him, but how have you rated his overall contribution this year?
I'm an Albie fan, and I always find him slightly frustrating. He's a hard worker, and I don't think he gets the goals his works pays in. And this the one where he's lobbed for keeper yesterday, because I'm sat right behind a goal and I'm watching it, and I'm up out of my seat, and oh, how he did that. I don't know whether it would have been better to sort of like do one of those like floating free corner kicks, which would have gone over the keeper's head better. But, you know, he took a goal well. He was everywhere. He wants the ball, and I like that in a player. And he's played a lot for us, and it's a consistency thing. We've talked about this before with him. He's got to be consistently good. I think with him, if he has a bad game, he gets dropped straight away. I think other players have bad games and they get given like a chance for another couple of games. With Albie, it seems like if he doesn't have a great game, boom, he's straight out. And okay, sort of like midfield, you've got Payne there, you've got McGrandles, you know, Fraser, Dobbo. So you've got options to come in. I don't say I understand it. I just don't get it. I think he's having a fairly decent season. I mean, I don't think you can sort of like look at yesterday. Yesterday, for him, for me, and Sean Clare. I think Sean Clare was a player for me yesterday who was everywhere, defending, getting things happening, and trying to get things going. And I said, like, I had some West Ham fans sitting next to us, and they were impressed with him. And they were saying, you know, he's doing well, and he gets stuck in, and he doesn't mind, mix it up a bit. And I think Albie, you know, had a good game. It's like I say, it's just one of those things. I just feel a bit sorry for him. If he has a 6 or 7 out of 10 game, boom, Man City's on the bench, or he's not in the squad. And I just think, that's just, surely get the guy in, let him have a run of games, get more comfortable in the position. But it's whether you fit him in alongside Dobson and Fraser as well. I mean, it's, you've got to decide what kind of, you know, do you want your wingers bombing on? Because he does a lot of work, Albie, and he's got a good engine, and he got a bit of a nasty kick, which I'll be filming and sending to the FA, hoping to get their player banned later on. So I like him. I know he divides the fans. He's just, I don't think there's a Charlton player really who doesn't divide the fans.
Yeah, right. Now, Chris says, evening, chaps. I know we haven't invested in enough quality, but their first goal, there is an unmarked player near the goal line in the box. He runs untracked across the face of goal to get the pass from the corner, and then unchallenged plays it out to the player who scored. This is really basic stuff, the ability to mark and track players. Professional players should be able to do this, but we appear to switch off so many times. If I can see it, then why can't others? Chooks up front today look completely different from the Chooks coming on as a sub. Is our setup that for whatever reason the striker just doesn't fit into our system from the start? We rarely play it through the middle to them anyway. And then finally, Ben Garner wore his gilet. We are always rubbish when he has that on. Ban the gilet. Keep up the good work. That's from Chris. Yep. The second one I'll ask you then, Nath. Chooks, did you think he was ineffective yesterday? I mean, he had a couple of moments, but I guess he was clearly blowing after half time, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think it was sort of expected, really. He was, you know, he's only been coming on, getting 20 minutes here and there. So, I mean, him lasting 70 minutes was going to be a tall order, let alone 90. So, I mean, I thought an hour mark. I don't know what minute he come off, but I'd assume this ain't around an hour mark. He was going to be dead on his feet, and you have to take him off, and then you've got to try and freshen it up. And then, like I said already, it's just like there was nothing else there to bring on, you know. We don't have anyone else. Like, if Stockley was available and he came off, at least you've got a focal point. And I know there's a debate around whether, you know, Stockley fits in the system and XYZ, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, he is a different player. He's an impact player, you know. And I sort of think Corey's that sort of player as well. I prefer Corey coming off the bench than starting a game. But, yeah, he was quite ineffective, but I don't think we gave him too much service, really, if I'm brutally honest. But, yeah, it was disappointing all round, really, I think. And it's most like most weeks, really. I mean, the defence, your full-backs are playing okay. Centre-halves look a bit questionable. We keep the ball, do the horseshoe where we go round the back four, but we're just not playing into his strengths. I don't think he got into his feet enough yesterday for Chooks. And, yeah, it was only a matter of time when he was going to be brought off. And then the question was, right, what are we going to do next? Are we going to change it up? Are we going to adapt with Chucks not on the pitch? And we didn't do it enough, I'm afraid.
Yeah, certainly didn't. Right, next email comes in from McSquared. Says, hi, guys. Two positives from yesterday's match. Morgan's goal and the fact we weren't beaten and made it into the third round hat just about. Apart from that, it was a shambles. It could definitely be argued that a draw was the very minimum that Stockport deserved on the day. Obviously, we have no right to beat inferior opposition, but the worrying thing is that Stockport more than matched us on the day, in spite of the fact that we're playing at home and we're clear favourites to win. We haven't even mentioned that Stockport made four changes, like the likes of Paddy Madden. Didn't start, he came off the bench, he's their top scorer, whereas obviously we were at full strength. But too many of our players were found lacking yet again, and to concede at the end in that way was nothing short of comical. Anike actually started a match at long last, but it didn't seem to make any difference whatsoever. So unless the blame is levelled at Ben Garner, which would be unfair in my opinion, one could only conclude that majority of our squad are of League 2 rather than Championship standard. Which is very worrying indeed. My other question to you is this. Other than Raksaki, who is only on loan to us, which players would you consider to be capable of making an impact in the Championship if by some miracle we manage to gain promotion? I can only think of Dobson, Anike if fully fit, and possibly Sessegnon after that. I'm struggling, so ultimately this isn't about whether we manage to scrape through to the third round or not, but why we still seem to be treading water in League One. We all know the answer, of course, a lack of investment in the squad. On the topic of Stockley, by the way, one of the most ludicrous decisions was to let Connor Washington go when it presumably wasn't necessary and not already have a viable replacement. Stockley was at his most effective when Washington was alongside him. Therefore, none of us should be in the least bit surprised that his form has continually deteriorated since Connor departed. If Thomas has lost enthusiasm for the club or has realised he's bitten off more than he can chew, it would be better if he could just hold his hands up and set about trying to find a buyer. Otherwise, I fear we will only end up going in one direction, and that is not up. All the promises he made when he took over the club now just seem to be empty rhetoric. Yeah, so who would you say from our current setup, Mark, could play in the Championship? That's a good, very good question. And that's probably the right answer.
Yeah, I just didn't really see that one coming, to be quite honest. Not up front, Fraser, I think, could. And I think Dobson's still quite young, and so is Albie. I think they've got the potential to be Championship players. Everyone else, look, we bought a lot of League 2 players, which exactly shows exactly our ambition, I think. It's difficult. I don't think I can really pick more than three to say, yeah, if we went in the Championship. And to be honest, I'd include the goalkeeper in that as well. I know Wallacott's got a lot of fans. I thought Ash did pretty well yesterday. He made one blinding save where he came out. I thought the guy was going to score, and then he's just fisted it so far. You're thinking, wow, that's really a long way to punch the ball. And you're like, and I thought he was probably pretty much, he could, you know, I think Maynard Brewer could. So, yeah, it's not a big list at all. I don't think up front, Stockley would just be eaten up. Chucks, no, it's not going to happen. So you're looking at the youngsters coming through, and it's a potential there. Potential, could Lee Byrne do it? Kanu do it? Therese Campbell? These are all potentials. I don't think there's enough in our day-to-day squad who could do a job. I mean, I think Sean Clare would probably be the kind of player you'd have in your squad in the Championship, but he might get the odd game here or there. So, and the centre-halves, I think that would be the punchline on a Christmas cracker joke if they were your centre-halves in a Championship.
Yeah, unfortunately. Right, let's have a listen to some more fans' views, and I delved into the fans bar after yesterday's game to ask some supporters for their thoughts on yesterday's draw with Stockport County.
I just think typical Charlton all time this season. We've not took our chances and got to the 97th minute and we've conceded. I could see it happening. And the thing is, you've listened to the post-match interview with Ben Garner saying he didn't think it crossed the line. You can't keep using excuses like that. You've just got to play professional football and just play at the whistle and play the game. And too many times we're using too many excuses and it's getting tiring. And I'll go up to Stockport, new tick for me. And it'll be a good night out. I think me and Vince, we're going to fly up, stay in Manchester overnight, and then make a day.
It was a weird game because, like, our first goal, I've never known anything like it. Like, I didn't know if we'd scored, no one was cheering, the players didn't seem to react. It was bizarre.
And the performance overall, frustrating. You could feel them coming back into it in the second half.
Yeah, I definitely, towards the end, I was getting more and more nervous, and the inevitable happened. It's just frustrating because with the squad we've got, with the gaps we've got in the squad, the last thing we need is another game, and that's what we've got. So it's quite worrying, to be honest.
100%, and I think defensively all season we've just been very, very fragile, and I think it's starting to roost now where the injuries mounting up, and obviously I think it looks like Sessegnon Young's gone off with another injury. We'll see what happens, but I just think we've just got to get back to basics, really, if anything, and we're just trying to play too many. Trying to keep possession too much, getting 600 passes, I read somewhere, in a game, but we've got 70% possession, but we're not winning the games. And sometimes it took at Port Vale, it took to the 89th minute to have one goal, one shot on target, and that's not good enough.
No, like, I don't know what the problem is, because I thought on paper the players that started today in defence were probably some of our best options, but again, it's not worked out that way, and it's worrying, really, because apart from Egbo, that should be as good as it gets for us, and we're still not keeping them out, so it doesn't bode well.
100%. I mean, I go all over the country, as you know, Louis, and I get frustrated, but it is what it is. I'm kind of used to it, but let's just see where the season goes. I think now it's a matter of collateral damage. Let's just try and stay mid-table. Playoffs are gone, as far as I'm concerned now. So let's just see how it goes.
Really concerned, to be honest, because I think we've got some good options in midfield. We've got some good options out wide, but there's certain positions, particularly up front, where we're so light. If with Stockley out, Chucks, he was blowing by about 55 minutes. He didn't look. He had to obviously come off. It worries me about the pressure's going to be on people like Leeburn when he comes back to try and get the goals because we're so short up front. We've got to get someone in January. I just hope we do.
There we go, thanks to the chaps I spoke to after the game yesterday. I think they sum it up quite succinctly for us. And that's that. We've come to the end of this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to everyone who's got involved with this week's show and had your say. Thank you as well to Mark and Tanaif for speaking with me this weekend.
You're more than welcome, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Good to speak to the pair of you. I'm Louis Mendes, then we'll be back on probably Wednesday, actually, because the game's a day early this week, isn't it? So we'll talk on Wednesday to look ahead to the game with Cheltenham next Friday as well. So we'll be back on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We shall see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.